Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds. Poor people gonna rise up and get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's there. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about the revolution.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to the French Connections Tuesday edition. Of course, today's date is the Tuesday, the 20th day of June 2006. My name is Darrell Bradford Smith. It's great to have you listeners here with me today. IamTheWitness.com is the website, and IamTheWitness at Hotmail.com is my contact information. And the Power of Prophecy is the place to find out about my guest today. He's a second-time visitor for the French Connection, and I hope that's not the only two times we have him, because he's just wonderful. He's an honest guy. He's been at this for as long as anyone can remember. In fact, he came to these facts decades ago and has been working in the direction of truth for that period of time. And being one of he's been around when Eustace Mullins was really getting some traction, and he was talking about Ezra Pound and all of this. I mean, these guys were really the forerunners of this information. I mean, you know, we just picked the ball up, guys, and we started running with it after some of these people. So it's an honor for me to have someone who's been fighting this fight as long as he has. Tex Mars, are you with me?
Hey, I sure am, Darrell, and it is great to be with you, and really to be listened to around the world, because this is a worldwide problem that we have, and I feel like that what we're doing, we are part of the truth movement. You know, people talk about the Patriot movement and the constitutional movement, but really, there's a foundation to all of these things, because if you don't have truth, then you're not going to have a Bill of Rights, you're not going to have a Constitution, all you're going to have is corruption, atrocities, crime. So I think truth underlies everything. It undergirds the moral fabric, whether it's France or the United States.
You're right.
We begin with truth, and if we can get at the truth, whether it's 9/11, what happened to the World Trade Center towers, the war, so-called war on terror, even back to the Holocaust, going all the way back to World War II, Stalin and Hitler. If we can get at the truth of all of these things, the truth of history, then I think the light will shine. And this is really my purpose. In every event, we've been lied to.
Yeah,
we've been deceived,
mm-hmm.
but now it's amazing to me. It's like people, you know, talk to me, Darrell, and I know they do you too. It's like, you know, a door opening and suddenly a bright shining light. It seems you know, that the truth is coming out, mm-hmm. but of course at the same time, the deceivers are desperate to keep that door closed.
Well, they are, and of course they've called me everything, including a doo-doo head, and I said that last night, and I got an email saying, people call you doo-doo head? I said, well, they'll try anything to discredit me from soup to nuts. Do you know something, Tex? I got an email about behavior of people, And I said something on my show last night about, you know, people not thinking about others. You know, my rights as a human being end where someone else's begin. That's a simple concept, right?
Right.
We've lost that concept in America. People, the level of rudeness and lack of respect for others, we've lost the ability to shame other people into the right behavior. And it's by design. I thought about it last night at length, and I said to myself, you know what? With this gold tooth rap nonsense and the scantily clad women that look like they're streetwalkers being held out there as role models for our youth. And then I thought to myself, you know, the degradation in the quality and morals of our world were by design. And rudeness is the norm, not the exception today. And it's because we can't use shame on you anymore. You know, if somebody did something when I was a kid, they say shame on you, don't do that, and you'd say, oh, okay, and you'd correct your behavior because in some way you would be taught something about how not to offend others or how not to inject your rights above someone else's. And somehow we've just dropped that right off the map.
Well, we did lose the Christian moorings, and now Christianity has been redefined.
Yeah.
And of course, this would have to be the case in and I'm sorry to say this, but it's true, a Talmudic system,
mm-hmm.
Where you have a system of law, and everything depends on the law. And then the morals are lost. I remember reading a Jewish rabbi who was defending Bill Clinton's oral sex with Monica Lewinsky.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Bill Clinton is right. This is not sex. According to the Talmud, oral sex is not sexual relations. So you see, they redefine everything. And this went into the youth culture, and so now the youth say, oh, well, oral sex, that's not really sex.
Yeah.
You know, and in hundreds of other ways, people have become very coarse. For example, here in the state of Texas, in Fort Worth, Dallas, they had Library Week.
Yeah.
And they asked various celebrities, including First Lady Laura Bush, to choose a book or a play or a film to honor that week.
Mm-hmm.
And at the library system in Dallas-Fort Worth, they would have those particular items on display. Laura Bush chose, now get this, she chose the play in the movie, The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. And that to her typified what a young kid should go to the library and see as a wonderful example of American culture during American Library Week. So here we have a horrible coarsening, and you know the First Lady also at the national press had dinner.
Oh boy, yes, I saw this. Yeah. In fact, go ahead, because this is startling.
Yeah, well, here's the First Lady, Laura Bush, whom honestly, if you say one bad word about her, evangelical Christians pounce on your head. But she talked, she made a joke about her husband. I even hate to say the word, but let's just say, well, let me just say it flat out, because it's masturbating a horse.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that was a joke she told.
Yeah, and she said it was because he thought he could get milk from it or something.
Right. It was so gross and grotesque.
Yeah.
It was something, if my grandkids had said, I would have pulled them by the arms and said, listen just a minute here.
Yeah.
You don't say such gross things around your grandpa. This is not what you should be doing. And here she said it, and at that moment the press fell in love with Laura. All the Dan Rathers and all the others, they loved her. And since then, she has been lauded and appraised and acclaimed in the press. And, of course, by the way, her husband just sat there and his little shoulders just jerking back and forth. He was just laughing his head off, thinking how hilarious all this was. And all of the press did. So it really is a very sickening thing.
Well, he's probably dreaming about his evenings with Jeff Gannon, is what I would be guessing.
Well, probably so, you know. And this is another thing that Everything is not what it seems. You mentioned the Jeff Gannon. We know that here is a homosexual who had hotstud.com as his website.
Yeah.
Yet they made him a star, even gave him press credentials so he could go in and see the president.
Under a false name. And it gets even worse because he was actually willing to set up rendezvous as a prostitute, which you and I both know is illegal in the nation's capital. So he was a active felon. So here's an active felon visiting the White House over 200 times without checking in and out correctly under an assumed name. Now, what was this man doing all those times in that White House after hours with George? I find it repugnant. It's mind-blowing, but you want to hear this in Massachusetts, which is my home state, Tex.
Mm-hmm.
The gay lobby, ACT UP lobby, that is very virulent in Massachusetts, has just demanded that the Teachers Association present to middle schoolers how to use condoms properly and how to have safe sex so they don't get AIDS. Now, on the surface of it, some people with a open mind might say, well, yeah, I don't want my kid getting AIDS. But first of all, let's talk about a 13-year-old. That's a middle schooler. Now, this kid's 13 years old. This is a time when they're actually starting to really understand what sexual urges are. And what are they being presented with? They were being presented with how to implement the use of a condom correctly. But more than that, they were talking about proper ways of, fisting so that you don't get diseased when you fist someone. Now, this is on the documents that they're providing to middle schoolers in the state of Massachusetts. And when some people balked about it, they actually sued the school departments that said that they didn't want that in their school system. Now, this is the kind of stuff that's happening across the country. And when you look behind the veneer of who these people are and who's putting them forward, it's the same Zionist group, the same, the one and the same. There is absolutely no difference between who's running these scams on Massachusetts than there is on who's running BMG's music and putting out these rappers and who's selling us sickness across the nation. And actually, what you said about the Noahide laws, same exact group in all instances.
Well, even if we go all the way back to the 60s, we find Jerry Rubin, Abby Hoffman,
Gloria Steinem.
Gloria Steinem. All of these were Jews who despised the Christian mores.
Mm-hmm.
And so they sought to despoil society. Al Goldstein, a very perverted man who has for decades now published a book called SCREW.
Right, in New York City, that's right.
Magazine.
Yep.
Goldstein was recently interviewed and asked why it is that Jews are the kingpins of the porno industry. And he actually said something that I think is very honest. He said, he may be a sex pervert, but he seems to be honest in some aspects. And he said this, he said, it's because we all hate Christianity. He said, the fact that we so despise and find Christianity despicable, we're doing everything we can to ruin it, to make, people into, anti-Christians.
Yeah.
This is what he said. It's not just for sex purposes or sex recreation. Our purpose is to overturn Christian civilization. That's what Al Goldstein, with one of the most vile porno magazines in the world, that's what he admits.
Well, these are the same people who have been fingered as the perpetrators of white slavery, child slavery, child sex slavery, in fact. And they also are the people in the San Fernando Valley of California, where most of America's pornography emanates from, are the controllers and leaders, as they are in Hollywood, producing the story of what are these, some of these perverted stories that have just come out about Christianity recently, and including this Da Vinci Code, which Ted Pike and I did a show on this last week where, you know, he said this is just it's complete blasphemy, and it's lies on every corner and every page of the book. And he said, you know, it's not necessarily that Dan Brown, because Dan Brown wrote on the front cover that this is a fiction, but they present this in that film as though it's not fiction, it's fact.
And I don't think it's any accident that they chose Tom Hanks, who also is Jewish.
That's right.
And has no love of Christianity. So, again, throughout society, these things are now interwoven. In my book, Codex Magica, I discuss the situation comedy TV show Seinfeld, the Seinfeld show.
Yeah.
All of the comedians on that show, every one of them were Jewish.
That's right, and so was the producer and writers.
That's right, the producer, Larry, David, all of them. And what they did was to weave themes that were not only anti-Christian in content, but very, very smutty, but they also had Talmudic themes, and they did various Freemasonic hand signs and body gestures to bring, I believe, they believe that they were invoking, in my opinion, I believe they thought they were invoking demonic powers to come in. And you see this even in comedy today. They have exalted these Jewish comedians. Now, is that because Gentile comedians are incompetent? No. It's because it's a little club, and they all help each other.
That's right.
So you'll see Adam Sandler on the cover of Parade magazine.
Mm-hmm.
A few months later, you'll see a Ben Stiller on the cover. Both Jews, both that will produce Freemasonic hand signs, body poses and such. In fact, I've exposed Ben Stiller on the front cover of Parade magazine. He did various hand signs. By the way, I think it's real interesting. Parade magazine one time messed up. They had a feature story about George Tenet.
Yep.
I think it was the head of the CIA.
Was he CIA or FBI?
I'm sorry, FBI.
Yeah.
And they mentioned that Tenet was Jewish.
Yep.
And, of course, he actually goes, supposedly, to a Greek Orthodox church, which means nothing, of course, because they've infiltrated many straightforward churches, Christian churches.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually admitted that Tenet was Jewish. They went on about it. And then in the very next issue, they had a little disclaimer saying, oh, we're sorry, we made a mistake. Mr. Tenet is not Jewish. But, of course, he was Jewish.
Yeah.
And Madeleine Albright, former Secretary of State.
She didn't know. She says, I didn't know I was Jewish, she says.
She didn't know she was a crypto-Jew. She had no knowledge of it. She said she was raised Episcopal.
Terminology, that term, that when Eric and I have used it, boy, do we get the people angry, boy, when we use crypto-Jew, because there is a history of this within these people's activities. The Muranos in the Southwest, down in southern Texas and Arizona and New Mexico and California, there are some very wealthy, old money Spanish families that are actually Murano Jews.
That's right. In fact, the Lyndon B. Johnson family has a lot of Jewish ties. And of course, the reason for this is quite interesting. Certainly in the United States today, it is to someone's advantage to openly admit that they are Jew. And thus the question comes, because, you know, you get rewarded in many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I was an author, and I was one of the very few authors that was actually writing books for some of the biggest New York publishing houses.
Yeah.
Although I must say that in the biggest contract that I got with a publisher, they stole my book. It was owned by a Jewish company, and I had to take them to court. And by the way, I got a Jewish lawyer, and I was able to win my case thanks to a Jewish lawyer, you know, who fought this Jewish publisher. I suppose if I had a Gentile publisher in New York, and by the way, the judge at the state court in New York was Jewish also.
Mm-hmm.
So I was fighting a Jewish battle against a Jewish publisher with a Jewish attorney, and I won the case.
Mm-hmm.
They did steal the book and tried not to pay royalties. And I believe this is very common. I wrote a book one time for Simon & Schuster, and I got their catalog of the upcoming books for that next six-month period. And I was looking over it, and that was the first time I really discovered this. I knew that my editor was Jewish. In fact, every editor I worked with in New York, at all the publishing houses, the largest in the world, they were all Jews. And the heads of those publishing houses are all Jewish. But I was looking at their, they had like 150 books listed, upcoming books for the next 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was the only Gentile name. And yet, there are a number of Jews that have Gentile-sounding names. You don't even know they're Jewish. But all of these were, Goldstein and
yep.
Wahlberg. And I thought, I said to my wife, Wanda, I says, boy, I'm one of the very few Gentile authors. And Simon & Schuster was the second at that time, now they're the first, I believe, second largest publisher in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like one of three or four out of 150 authors who are Gentile. Does that mean Gentiles can't write? We're all incompetent? No. It means that every 19 book ideas I had, every 2019 were stolen, to be very honest with you. It was very rare. So I had to have enough ideas for me and all of the Jewish authors that they spread my ideas to.
Well, here's the interesting thing, too, because we talked about Bertelsmann the other day. We talked about the consolidation of media.
Mm-hmm.
Into the hands of a fewer and fewer Jewish interests, and one of the reasons why we are finding degradation within our moral structure, as well as we have been losing the battle up until now in all these different venues, is because they control the message.
They do. They control them. They control the media. Now here's one thing that maybe we ought to pop into right now.
Mm-hmm.
Daryl, because I think it's so important. I've talked to you off the radio.
Yeah.
You and I have had private discussions.
Yeah.
I want to tell people out there something that I think is very important about Daryl Bradford Smith. And my discussions with you. Now remember, these were private discussions. So
yeah.
Off the radio, I have never heard you once say anything hateful about anyone. By race, never. You see, if we knowing these things,
yep.
can keep from hating.
That's right.
Can keep from despising yep. these people who really despitefully use us.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think we have the victory. If we can say, okay, we know they control the book industry, and you can't hardly get published as an author without their approval, and they favor Jewish authors. And yet, if we were to own a publishing company, if we could be fair to people, whether they're Jew or Gentile, knowing that we have been wrong, as I've told you, I have been wrong by Jewish publishers, but nevertheless, the real key to victory is to not get revenge. Don't hate these people.
That's right.
Love them anyway. Do right by them, even if they hate us, even if they believe we're nothing but insects, or as their own holy book, the Talmud, calls us, just cattle or goyim. Don't call them cattle in return. Don't hate them. And I just wanted to let people know, Daryl, because I have talked with you privately,
yeah.
and I've never seen one instance of hatred of any kind. If anything, it's been like a sadness in your heart. I've noticed that this is the case in the world. It's almost like you wish that this were not so very much.
I wish that I could go back to trying to build a happy life for my children and my wife. And when you're faced with awful choices, and we've got some pretty bad choices coming up here. And one of the choices, the hardest choice people have to make, is to find courage, Tex.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not courageous to hate. That's the easy thing to do, is to hate.
Hmm.
The courageous thing to do is to suppress your anger in a way that is productive. And hatred is an unproductive feeling. It doesn't. What it does is it produces injury to innocent parties, is what it often does. Because you and I both know there are many, many Jews across the world who have worked feverishly, tirelessly, trying to expose the crimes of these people. And I have a list of them. And if only one of them was trying, they should be exalted as fighters for truth, because this is about truth. And now, I made a statement that came out about investigators of 9/11, and I asked the Jewish community that were involved in investigating 9/11 to step back from the investigation. And I said to them, here, we need your help. We can use your help by having you direct people to our research, but we really need you to step back, because right now, 70% of the investigators are Jewish. Now, only 2% of the country's population is Jewish. And I said, there's something wrong with that, because you're assuming that only Jews want to find the truth about 9/11. Well, no, that's not true. 7 out of 10 of you, most of you, are trying to obfuscate. And I don't know which one, I don't know who is who. And so, in the interest of not having to cast dispersions on innocence, maybe you should step back and let other people do your fighting for you. And, of course, I was called a racist, and I was called this and that, and I said it was not delivered as a racist proposition, but rather as a logical one. You certainly wouldn't, if you had, Eric's term here, albino midgets that did 9/11, and then all of a sudden 70% of the people investigating the crime of 9/11 were albino midgets, you would be suspicious.
Yeah.
Now,
the Jewish community is unfortunately a preponderance is very anti-corporation, and there's enough corporate evil doing to understand why anyone could be upset at the Enrons and the Exxons. The problem is then every time they see an evil that happens in the world, they quickly say, oh, it's the corporations. It's the oil companies. And that's why you have a Michael Moore who did a video supposedly exposing 9/11, but all he really said was, hey, these were intelligence failures. There's no conspiracy except by oil companies.
Yeah.
You see, this is their thing. And by the way, Michael Moore, many people think he's just a scruffy, a working class Gentile boy, but in fact I've done research on him, and he is Jewish, and he came from a very affluent Jewish family, and he affects, by not shaving, by wearing a gimme cap, he pretends that he came from the Rust Belt of the Midwest. He is a very affluent Jew, and let me just say that his agent was the brother of Rahm Emanuel, who is a Jewish a politico, who now is the money bag man running the whole Democratic Party. If you want to run for Congress anywhere in the United States as a Democrat, you must go see Congressman Rahm Emanuel from Illinois and get on your knees, basically, and beg him for the money. He has the money bag of the whole Democratic Party. He was the aide in the White House, sort of the secret guy in the White House under Bill Clinton, and I believe he was what they call MEGA, the Israeli Mossad spy they called MEGA, Rahm Emanuel. But in the most recent issue of either Time or Newsweek, they have a picture of Emanuel, and they mention that he is the money bag guy, not Howard Dean, head of the party.
Who's also Jewish, by the way.
They must come to, yes, that's true. They must come to Emmanuel for the money. And so think of this. Rahm Emanuel's brother is the Hollywood agent for Michael Moore. And there's other ties, too. There's some strange connections, even with the Mel Gibson.
Well, we found out that the whole crew text of this Loose Change video is all Jewish.
Ah, I see.
And Eric had a conversation with them, and the person really pulling the strings behind it was a kid named Bemis, I believe his name is. And he was the most virulent of the three in his defense of or his yeah his accusations against Eric for being jealous and all this other stuff. And Eric said to them, no, I'm not jealous at all. Why is it that all the evidence points to Israel and you won't say it? And you won't say it.
That's not on their video, and I was disappointed. There's nothing at all about the dancing Israelis on top of the building there in New Jersey.
The art students. And since then, the C-Tex, they've had three versions of this. Since then, we've got new evidence. We've got evidence that Abramoff, the super criminal, super lobbyist, that has worked hand in hand with the Jewish American Congress, as well as ADL and Foxman and the rest, the criminal who has been accused by the family of his ex-partner who was murdered as being the person who ordered it, also was the guy who actually provided a boat cruise, a gambling drinking boat cruise, to Muhammad Atta on more than one occasion.
Wow.
And he's also the man who had more than a dozen visits privately with the president.
Hmm.
Now, you know, why isn't that in there? Why isn't this information being vetted properly so that we all are aware of these facts? Well, you and I both know they control the message. So it's left up to us to take these terrible risks, you know. And everyone says, well, why aren't you already dead, Daryl? Well, that's a fair question. But considering the stuff I've been able to get out, it's a fair question. I think that I'm at the point now where to do that to me would blow up in their faces. Terrible, Tex. And I think I kind of slipped under their radar too long. They had a lot of fires going on in the country, and I think they let me go too far. And now that that I've been able to get this kind of traction, I think they're kind of stuck with me. Not permanently, because they can kill presidents and stuff. So, you know, but I think they're in a quandary with me.
Well, it is true they can kill presidents, and they do have the power to do you harm. The question is, you know, the exposure factor, is it really worth it? You know, seeing your area of importance and so forth in the world. What damage you might do to their system. But here again, if they can fringe us, if they can put us on the fringe, and you are right, if they can have enough people who put out a loose change type of video, or a Michael Moore, if they can have all of their Jewish friends to expose the quote-unquote intelligence failures and the sins of the oil companies, and keep away from the fact that it's Israel, stupid.
Yes, right.
Then they will have accomplished their purpose. But let me say something very quickly. I get the same questions over the years. Why aren't you dead?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a person who asks that doesn't understand that God has a destiny for every human being. Unfortunately, some people are foreordained, the Bible says, to do evil. Judas, for example, came into this world. Now, people may not like that. They may say, "Oh no, everybody has a choice." And I'm not. I don't want to get into predestination and all these theological issues. But let me simply say that it says that certain people are foreordained to do evil, and I believe that there is the destiny of some people to do good.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the Bible even says in Ephesians that God has arranged the steps of a righteous person.
Yeah.
So that each day you will walk in those things. We may think that we divine our future. You know, I like the old saying, Daryl, life is what happens while we're making other plans.
That's right.
So God has these plans for us, and they cannot kill us until God gives them permission. You know, even Job in the Bible, he went through the most horrible things. But God actually told the devil, you can do anything to Job you want except take his life. So God put a restriction. Even the devil complained and said, you put a hedge of protection around him. I can't touch him at all. And so this is what happens. I believe that there are certain people who have been chosen by God to tell the truth. And I don't care what the other side wants to do. You know, I've been audited for 4 years by the IRS. I've had 3 visits by the FBI. And all I've done is been nice to those people, and they've done everything they can to try to harm me. And you and I evidently are like those little ever-ready bunnies.
Bunny.
You know? Yeah, you know. And I don't know why that is, but I believe it's God. So there again, I have a supernatural answer as well as perhaps the human.
Well, here's, you know, the one of the subjects we wanted to kind of plumb today, too, was how they actually manipulate and false flag us into believing that hatred is all around the Jew, and again, by Jew I mean they use the victim status of their group to their best advantage. And I brought up the events here in France that they've been caught doing. 3 times in the last 10 years, they've had young Jewish young men arrested for desecrating Jewish cemeteries with Nazi swastikas.
Mm-hmm.
And they found out that the graffiti and the Nazi stuff was actually coming from Jews themselves. Now, that led me to thinking about some other things from this group called the Southern Poverty Law Center with Morris Dees. And it also brought me to think about the compartmentalization of whites under the banners of these Aryan Nation and Aryan Brotherhood things, which essentially, you know, people who want to live amongst their own or whatever, you can do that if that's your chosen interest. But the fact is, to do it cut along racial lines, of course, is most people find that repugnant because what it says is that you're not as good as me, is what it says.
Yeah.
And of course, you know that I've got some American Indian in me from my grandma, and of course I'm already a mongrel, according to some of these.
Okay.
So,
a lot of us are.
Well, yeah, but here's the point I'm trying to make here, that they've used this as a divisive force rather than a unifying force, because they don't want us unifying behind a single banner against them. They want us to be fractured. They want us against white against black, Hispanic against red. Wherever they can foment a division, you'll find them there doing it. And one of the great dividers has been the Southern Poverty Law.
Well, now that's true. Now, this is something that our audience needs to understand, and I believe more and more people are because of programs like yours, Darrell. Here's what happens. These little fringe extremist groups, Aryan Nation, Aryan Brotherhood, the neo-Nazis and so forth, they are actually created by Jewish interest and by CIA and FBI monies.
Yeah.
And they actually fund these groups.
That's right.
Even the remaining remnants of what used to be the very strong KKK, all of these groups are, I believe, right now funded. Let me give you one small example of this. The Aryan Nations was a guy named Butler. Now, Butler was known as a vicious homosexual, by the way, as is many of the Jewish leadership. And Butler was head of this little group that probably only had 15 to 18 members, several young neo-Nazi boys that I have no doubt at all that he used for sexual purposes. But be that as it may, he went up to Idaho. Now, and there he had about, I think it was 40 miles or something from the state capital of Idaho. He had his little compound, okay? Now, at that time, they were in a state capital of Idaho. They had a hate crimes bill being considered by a committee of the legislature. It did not look like it was going to be passed, okay? The committee was going to vote on it the following week, when suddenly Butler and his little group, you know, like 6 or 7 of them, drive a truck right in front of the state capitol building, open up the back of the truck, and they come out wearing their brown Nazi stormtrooper uniforms with the swastika on the sleeve, doing their Heil Hitlers, and he has a bullhorn, this Butler guy, and he's hollering and screaming and saying, "We will not tolerate this Hate Crimes Act being passed. We oppose it. Death to Jews and niggers." Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what Butler was doing, saying.
Yeah.
Now, the very 2 days later, now what did this do? It made everybody frightened.
Yeah.
They're in our midst, the neo-Nazis. Yeah. There's only half of them, but boy, it was on front page of the Idaho newspaper.
Yeah.
Oh, this is horrible. Maybe we better pass this Hate Crimes Act bill.
That's right.
Okay, now 2 days later, again, just before the committee voted, there was a big op-ed editorial in the Idaho newspaper. And they said, here is a reason why we must have this Hate Crimes Act passed. Look at what Butler and his Aryan Nations did. Oh, how terrible. We've got to stop these Nazis. We've got to stop their hate.
Yeah.
And it was signed by a Jewish rabbi. And it was some organization, you know, that nobody had ever heard of before, and had a box number. So some Jewish rabbi of some human rights Jewish group was begging the legislature and explaining, now this proves we've got to have the Hate Crimes Act. But an enterprising investigator did some research and found out, listen to this now, the address of the Jewish rabbi, who there was no evidence that he ever existed. That name was a fictitious name, as it turned out. But the address turns out to be the compound of the Aryan Nations. So Butler goes, you get the whole drift of it.
You know, they're not the brightest bunch, are they?
No, they're not the brightest bunch, but the interesting thing is they had both sides here.
Yep.
And meanwhile, it was too late because the state legislature, they did indeed pass that bill.
Yep.
Now, isn't this an amazing thing?
Well, it's not surprising.
To manipulate public opinion in this way.
Well, they've done the same thing with this homosexual stuff and the radicalization of the gay movement. And of course, you know that in the 60s and 70s, when they were, you know, they were doing this much of this disgusting stuff, this fisting stuff, and the rest that we had discussed earlier, comes out of their own designs. And you'll notice that that promotion of parades, they have these gay pride parades in larger cities in America. And if you take a look at behind these gay pride parades, the organizers are always from the Jewish community.
Yes.
And here's the interesting thing. They radicalize these people. Now, personally, because the Constitution is the way it is, and because I believe in libertarian values, what two grown adults do behind closed doors in privacy, I don't want the government breaking down the doors and putting a crime against somebody. But that's not what they've done here. What they've done, and what they've done is they've taken this motorcycle leather type of they wear cowboy chaps and they have no drawers on underneath, and they put them up on parade floats and drive them around the city naked doing the most vile stuff, and then they promote this as being the right thing to do. And of course, anybody with a brain takes a look at this and says, this is repugnant, this is disgusting, and heterosexuals don't act in this disgusting manner. They don't do this kind of foul behavior, and they don't promote the idea of having 50, 60, 150 partners in a year or more. They don't do these kinds of things within the heterosexual community, And so what's the real goal here? It's always a subterfuge. It's always degradatory. It's always, how can we tear down the pillars? And see, when you take a look at it rationally, it becomes so clear, Tex. And I try to explain this to my liberal friends, you know, because I still have a few. and I say, look, you've got to take a look at this rationally. And see, they've got a blockage there. They've bought the company line, hook, line, and sinker, and they're not able to see it because of the propaganda.
That's right. And in some ways, there is some kind of a strange symbiotic relationship between the so-called leaders of the evangelical community,
yep.
The Jerry Falwells,
yep.
And so
Hagee, and who else do we have? Let's name some names here, Tex. Hagee, we have. Who else do we have?
Well, there's Hagee, there's Falwell, there's Dobson.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even think of all the people. But
all Schofield Bible users, aren't they?
Well, yes, they are, and they're very much promotive of the Jewish community. I thought it was very interesting. The Epis- Episcopal Church USA. Let's go past the evangelicals even to the mainline denominations. 2.7 million members in the United States of the Episcopal Church USA. Last week they had their convention. They did three basic things at that convention. Number one is they chose a woman who they didn't say, but she certainly has every appearance of being a lesbian, even though she's married. Marriage means nothing to these people. And they chose a woman as their leader. Number two, they all agreed that homosexuality was perfectly in accordance with God's will, that God wanted same-sex marriage and everything. And what was the third thing they did? They all passed a resolution apologizing to the Jews for the Bible's many errors. They said the scriptures, the Christian scriptures, are anti-Jewish and must be changed. So they actually attacked the Bible. They promoted homosexuality, and they apologized, claiming that the Bible was anti-Jew. Boy, now I can see something going on in this agenda, can't you?
Well, now here's the interesting thing, and I know this from watching other votes within these organizations, these Christian groups, or the pseudo so-called Christian groups, that the rank and file membership, not the representatives, but the membership has voted against this. In other words, if you ask the congregation itself, do you want this, they'll say no. But then the leader will go out to the convention and vote opposite of what his congregation actually wants.
Now, Daryl, this is true. This is just like the United States. 80% of the American people want to stop the illegal alien immigration, the invasion. Mm-hmm. But both Democrats and Republicans don't care what the people want. And you're right. This is true. The leadership of the Episcopal Church, all the bishops and so forth, the pastors and so forth, they don't care what the people want. In fact, when I read this to my wife, Wanda, about the Episcopal Church and what they did, she said, well, I wonder what our friends so-and-so are saying about this. I said, well, I know what they're saying. They're heartsick about it. And she was talking about two precious friends we have that are Episcopal, you see.
Yeah.
And you're right. They have no say about it. They would not at all agree with this, the people in the pew. One time I was talking with a Methodist pastor. I had been reading an issue of the Methodist Reporter, mm-hmm. and there were many people writing to the editor very angry at what the Methodist church leadership was doing. And I asked his pastor, what do you say to these people that come to you and complain that you're promoting homosexuality and everything? He said, well, I just tell them, if it bothers them so much, don't even read the Methodist Reporter. And I... In other words, his answer was, don't complain. Shut up.
That's right. Well,
Read things that are negative.
There are other Christian groups in the country that have resisted it, but they're even starting to fall victim as well. And one of the groups are the Congregationalists. And you know that that's a pretty large organization as well in the country, and they've had a lot of northern traditional New England values in their group for many, many generations, and even they now are beginning to fall victim to this line of thinking, and it's coming as a wave after wave of propaganda that these people are just being browbeaten over, and of course. You know, personally, like I said, criminalizing adult behavior in the bedroom, I think is wrong because it's against the Constitution. See, so they take that little correct interpretation of the Constitution, and they expand it all the way out to these disgusting parades, and all the way out to these sick things to eighth graders about condom use and fisting and the rest. And so they take this little tiny opening and they blow it wide open and it's kind of like an infection. Mm-hmm. And now we've got the country's is totally infected by this really sick thinking. And of course the state I come from is probably the most victimized in the country, Massachusetts. Jesus, you know, with people like Barney Frank as a state rep. This man's a representative of the state of Massachusetts, and he had a 15-year-old male prostitute living in his Georgetown apartments with him, and selling his body and using Don Barney Frank's apartment. And guess what happens? Nothing.
Barney Frank recently announced, you know, that he wants to be the first Jewish homosexual U.S. senator from the state of Massachusetts. There was an interview with him, and he said, I'm going to be the first Jewish homosexual U.S. senator from the state of Massachusetts. Yes, this is what we're up against in America. And so we need to understand everything is changing. But it's an interesting thing that the Christian evangelicals who should be standing up for what's right now have got into bed with the Jewish revolutionaries.
Yeah.
And their only concern, when I talk to Christian evangelicals, and I get so many letters from these people complaining about me, they do not care at all about the Bible anymore, nor the gospel, or the commission of Christ to go forth into all the world with the gospel. Their only concern is the land for Israel. They say that right now they have replaced the gospel with an Israeli prosperity message. You see, a John Hagee, he doesn't preach and say, I want the members of this church and my TV congregation large to go out into your neighborhood and win people for Christ. He says, we have got to support Israel. They deserve land. God wants them to have the land. Doesn't matter what happens to the Palestinians. Let's support Israel. Write the president. Write the Congress. We must make Israel a great world power. This is the message of Dobson, of Falwell, of Billy Graham. There is no more gospel message anymore of repentance. It's all, let us exalt Israel as a nation state, and then God will bless us. It's a horrible message.
Are there any cracks in this message that they are putting out? Because, you know, I did on our website when I had Hagee saying he was going to go out and start a new drive to help Israel and all this other stuff, and I did a fatwa. I put a fatwa on the guy, right? On my website. Now you've got to understand, I don't even know what a fatwa is, but I certainly know that it wasn't good.
Well, it's an edict, but I'm sure you didn't mean to go out and kill the guy or whatever.
No.
It's the edict that you sort of marked him.
I marked him as a liar, and one of the people that has done such a great job of exposing the deception here is you, because I think you put in Codex Magica and some other books that you've done, the fact that Billy Graham was a descendant of Jacob Frank.
That's right, and of course, you know, it's so interesting to me, I noticed on your website, and I have not read it, but I made a mental note. I read everything else on your website, and I love your website, Daryl, and we've linked it with ours, by the way.
Well, thank you.
I noticed you had an article on there, and I don't know what it's about, but I'm going to go find out because it looked interesting. The presidents and the Jewish Illuminati or
The Lubavitchers are all meeting with the president just after they kosherized his kitchen, and they're... Yeah, well, you know that the entire White House now has gone completely kosher Jewish. It's the entire system over there. Now, there's no surprise to those of us who are digging through the facts about this. But if you brought that up to a Christian, here's the painful thing: the Christian Zionist would say, "Well, that's good. How the heck are we going to get these people to start seeing that this is the end of our life, our world, and goodness as we know it forever? It's going to be destroyed. We're turning our whole world over to a sickness."
Well, I'll tell you, already the impact is happening, though. I'm 62 years of age, Daryl, but this is the first time, this last year or two, is the first time I've seen a turnabout. I actually am seeing, I cannot explain to you how thrilled I am at the mail from sincere Christians who said, you know, Tex, it was like I was mesmerized by this Zionist message.
Yep.
And I didn't even listen to them. I would read the Bible, but I would selectively choose verses. I've had pastors that are telling me this. I went to a camp meeting in East Texas, and there were, 15 to 30 pastors there, independent Baptists. And so many of them came up to me and said, you know, when you first started talking about this Jewish issue, I thought, is he going out of his mind?
Mm-hmm.
But I began, some of them said, I decided to go to the Bible myself. And one of the guys said, I thought Tex Mars has to be wrong. He said, and I saw verses in there I'd never seen before because they were never taught to me in seminary.
That's right.
And Bible college. So this is beginning. There's a new book out, by the way, by a guy named Sizemore, I believe, Stephen Sizemore. It's called Christian Zionism. It's published by a major Christian press, InterVarsity Press.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first book I've ever seen for the major markets. A man named Dale Crowley of Washington, D.C., a very fine Christian, published a book last year, but they wouldn't even advertise it in the Christian bookstore journal.
Yeah.
But now there is a new book out called Christian Zionism, and it explodes the myth of Christian Zionism. This is, I'll tell you, we have a gathering truth movement going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can keep the pressure on and don't melt, because, boy, I'm telling you, the heat's going to come on a Daryl Bradford Smith big time and a Tex Mars. But it appears like adversity is making you strong, Daryl.
Well, you know, I do this with my partner, Eric, and we just decided, you know, I've got kids, and you know you've got kids and grandkids. I don't want them growing up under Talmudic law. I don't want them to be one of the 20, the 10 slaves that each Jew gets to have. I don't want, them to be considered cattle. I don't want them to live in a world that they think that having a 3-year-old in one day is open to sexual exploitation.
Mm.
I don't want this kind of world, and I need to tell people that this is the world they want for us. And I want to be a unifier between the other great world religions to say, look, the Muslims have been victimized and they didn't do anything to these Jewish perpetrators in the Middle East. These poor Palestinians, and by the way, what many people don't know is that 10 or 15% of the Palestinian population are Palestinian Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And Bethlehem has a very powerful Palestinian Christian population that have been just as victimized as the Muslims, and the Church of the Nativity and the all the different Christian churches in throughout the Middle East are all under threat. But more than that, some of the kindest people I've come to know over time come from the Muslim community, and they want nothing more than to have a fair shake in this world. And of course, with the barrage of the press around the world, they're not getting anything like a fair shake. In fact, what they're getting is horrible demonization and vile lies being spun about them. And you know, it's going to come to a point where people just finally spark to the truth. I'm hoping it comes as a wave, as a torrent. Because at some point, you know, these lies have to be exposed for what they are, Tex. And I say it to people every night on this radio broadcast. I hope I'm around to see it, but, you know, I may not be. This may be a battle that lasts for generations. But it
will be, because the octopus tentacles have extended into every area: religion, education, politics.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the exposure has begun.
Yeah.
And fortunately, they're not able to marginalize us any longer.
Yeah.
We now have the truth on our side. And I want to thank many people who are called revisionists, because they have gone forth, and I'm not talking necessarily about Holocaust revisionists. I'm just talking about people who wanted truth in history. It could be, what happened in 1978.
Yeah,
not back in World War II, but revisionists who said, "I want true history.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know the truth." You know, I'm working on a book right now talking about the foundations of America,
mm-hmm.
And I found incredible Zionist influence and evil doing, even at the foundation of America. I found out about a man named Haim Solomon.
Yep.
Who helped finance. He was a Rothschild agent.
Yep.
Who bought off a number of big-name American people, James Madison and others, were in his employ.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there are secrets, historical secrets,
mm-hmm.
that now are going to come out for the first time. Now, I believe that Richard Nixon, he may have been a bad guy in many ways, but evidently toward the end of his presidency, he determined to expose some of these historical secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they did away with him.
Yeah.
The truth of World War I, World War II, and many other facets of history, and the Jewish money powers influence in those were truly exposed, boy, people would be amazed. And Nixon knew this.
Yeah.
He knew about the JFK assassination. He knew who was really responsible for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know if you've done any research in that area. I suspect you have, Daryl.
Well, we have, and we've actually got a kind of a loose relationship with Michael Piper, who did Final Judgment about the Kennedy murder, and there were several reasons why Kennedy was murdered by the Mossad, but one of them was his stand on Israel not being able to have possession of a nuclear device, and there were some other things that came out in that book that are just really ground shaking stuff. And we look at the winners get to write the history, or the people in control do. But you have to understand, and this is what I want everyone that's listening to this to understand, there are not a lot of people on their side.
Mm.
They may be wealthy, and they may be able to buy a lot of chuckleheads out there, Tex, but the simple truth is in sheer numbers, they just don't have it. Now, what they do have is they have their lie machine. They do have their horrible willingness to do whatever it takes to silence their critics, but they don't have the numbers. And the fact is, we turn on these guys, they're going down. They will not stand against the tide of history. They just won't. No.
Well, let's just keep up the pressure on these evil people, and that's what they are. You know, you mentioned the Islamic faith.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing is, as far as the Islamic faith, we are actually causing Muslims to hate Christ. I want to reach them for Christ. But when they see the horrors, the torture, the killings, the lies that have been spread by the neocon Jews in the Bush administration, they begin to hate all Christianity, to distrust all Christians. When there's a Baptist, and I actually used to offer his books. He's a independent Baptist.
Honey?
And this man actually wrote in his newsletter that he believes that Palestinian youth ought to just lay down on the pavement and take a bullet to the head.
Oh, my.
And this guy calls himself a Christian evangelist.
Oh,
and by the way, his friends wrote a newsletter article blasting me as an anti-Semite. So on one hand, they think that Palestinians should lay down and take a bullet in the head from the Israeli soldiers because Israel deserves the land. And I want to ask a question to you, Daryl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is this what a Christian wants to do? I'll tell you something. Christians do not want to harm Palestinians.
No.
We want to reach them for Christ. We want life. We don't want death for these people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how, there's a Buddhist temple here in Austin, Texas. I drive by it about once a week and I see it. Now, some people say, wouldn't you like to just take a match and go in there and burn that place down?
No.
No,
no, no.
This is freedom of religion in America. They have a right. What I would like to do is to meet some of those Buddhists, go out to dinner with them, invite them to my home, tell them what I believe about Christ. You see, I want to bring life to them. I don't want to bring death and destruction. But what we have now in the system that we have, because of the hatred of the Talmudic system, because of the racism involved in the Talmudic system,
yeah.
we have a total degradation of the human race.
That's right.
And that's what we're fighting against, Darrell. And I think it's an admirable thing. This is a campaign of truth.
Yeah.
And light, and I don't apologize for it at all.
Well, but they've done it on the triangular assault. They've body, mind, and spirit. Okay, they've hit us with fluoride. They've hit us with monosodium glutamates. They've hit us with processed foods. They've hit us with terrible pollutions and sickening water systems and nitrites and nitrates in our waters. And then they've polluted our mind with sickness on television, film, or in print. They've sickened our world with pornography, and then they've sickened our minds by destroying the qualities of our education. No longer do our children come out of schools with a Socratic method to their thinking. They don't glean information through a rational, logical process anymore, but rather by rote and by consensus. And the consensus is always in their favor. And so what they've done is they've done a very good job of this assault. And when I see it at my age, at 50, I've been able to watch the progression. And, you know, this is something quite interesting, Tex, because when I started seeing this stuff, I had always known it. But I didn't know I knew it. This is what I'm going to ask everybody who hears this broadcast. Many of you who are hearing this for the first time, or for, you know, you're just coming to this truth, you know inside yourself that something's wrong here. You've listened to all this horrible news coming across our airwaves about Israel night after night throughout your entire life. And you knew deep down inside yourself something was painfully and terribly wrong about what was going on there, and that you were not getting the facts. You were not. Now I'm asking you to dig through the nonsense and find the truth. It is there waiting for you if you look. Now, you know, people have said that our research is nonsense. I said, we've got it cited. It's documented. If you go there, we give you the link. If you go there, we give you our opinion based upon these facts. We don't just throw out in front of people our musings. These are not musings. They are documentable. Now, We use people right from their own community. Look at Mr. Friedman. This guy is a magical attraction. He really is Tex. You've got to put him as a front and center, because the sincerity when he speaks is just powerful. And he was there for Balfour signing. He stood there. Morgenthau used to come to his family home in New York when he was a child.
Mm.
The guy is first person truth telling. He's not doing it from his research. He was there, and that kind of truth is too powerful to ignore. That's why, you know, I use Ben Friedman for a lot, and boy, they're saying that 25 lies of Ben Friedman. This is all coming. They're attacking Ben Friedman along with me. You can't, because if you hear Ben Friedman text, you just know automatically this guy's not spinning the yarn here. He's telling it like it is. And boy, oh boy, have we got converts. Well over 30,000 downloads of that one audio file and growing every day. We get 300-500 people a day downloading it. And it's growing exponentially. And you know, interestingly enough, we're one of over 50 sites that have it on their site. So it's probably gone out to hundreds of thousands of people. And these are the kind of things we all can do. Now, the Christian Zionist community of 26 million across America, if they awaken to the deception they have been victimized by, these people are going to start running for cover. And I'm asking each one of you out there, please examine your stand on these issues, because the key is in your hands. The key to unlock our success stands with you. And I'm asking them to be fair. Give the truth we've discovered, you've discovered in your Codex Magica, I've discovered with Eric Hufschmidt on my site and other places, give it a fair hearing. That's all I ask. Because if you're honest and fair about hearing what we've put, Tex, you can't deny the truth.
That's right. And by the way, I don't mind a lot of heaping abuse and ridicule coming down on my head. I'm sort of used to it by now. And so I invite these people. I was laughing the other day. You know, somebody wrote me a letter and said, Tex, I think you're a certified nut job.
Oh, boy, I get that every day, yep.
But I liked it. I wrote the guy back and thanked him. You know, I'm not just a nut job. I'm certified. I'm very special here, obviously. So, you know, these things don't bother me at all. I do think there is something that's quite interesting to me. Remember, I started off in the Christian field with number one best-selling books.
Yeah.
And I was told as I went around, and I was on Trinity Broadcasting Network and every one of these networks, as long as I was a good little boy and, you know, followed the party line, I was going to be a big star. I mean, three number one Christian best-selling books. I went and signed my books, and there was a line, you know, a mile long at the Christian Booksellers International Convention. And I told Wanda, I looked at her, and I said, you know, isn't it interesting, these people who put their arms around my neck on some TV show and say, if you don't just say this or that, or if you don't preach this or that, you're going to go far. And I found that interesting because in my heart, what they were telling me not to do was exactly what God was telling me to do.
Yep.
And if more Christians would listen to that. Now, a lot of people say, oh, do you just do this for sensationalism, for money? Are they out of their minds? This is no way to make money.
No. You want to know, when I ask for donations, we practically get none. Now, this might sound very odd to you, Tex. But
no, I
we can't. I've got 10,000 people minimum listening right now and to this broadcast. And when we ask for a couple of bucks, we don't get anything.
If each gave $3, there's $30,000.
Well, that's right. But you know something? Everybody thinks everyone else is sending it.
Well, that may be true too.
Well, but see, we our budget over here is very low, and I'm donating this effort. I don't make any money. This is not a business for me. It's not a job. I don't do this as a job. This is not, I'm not an incorporated entity here. I don't have this as a money making venture. The interesting thing is, for Eric and I, is we just latched on to the facts, and we just said, you know, we're so lucky. Nobody was talking about Zionism back a year ago when Eric and I got started. Nobody was doing it. People had tried and couldn't break through the barricade. And they made a big mistake with me. They let me on a front and center radio station, and I kind of snuck the agenda in little by slow. And I didn't overdo it, and I didn't go too crazy on them, and I did bash George Bush for them, because that's what everyone wants you to do, is George Bush did it all, and Cheney and Rumsfeld did it all. That's what they want. But they don't want you to tell who the master of, you know, puppeteers, the running the marionette show, are behind the scenes. Well, we slipped it in slowly, and as my audience grew, all of a sudden the audience was too big for them to stop, and then I started hitting them with full truth, full on. And I can remember talking to Eric. Eric, how far do you want to go today on this? I mean, we discussed it. Can we just introduce a little at a time so that we've brought them down the road here? And boy, oh boy, we snuck in under their radar is what we did. And then we got too big for them to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's never been about money or fame. And I'll tell you something: if I could turn the mantle of this mess over to someone else, and I thought they could fight it just as well as me, I might just say, you know, give me a break here, because I got some health issues that I need to adjust to, and all the rest of it. But so what? Can you have your grandkids living in this mess, Tex? Can you?
I don't want to, and I hope that they educate themselves. But every generation, you know, has its own responsibility.
Yeah.
I think in many ways our generation did let down the youth.
Yeah.
And we somehow let this creep on us, the Jewish power.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, we're regaining it. And let me say something: if we are able to turn the tide here and win, I'm going to say something that may sound
when we turn the tide, man.
When we turn the tide, I want to say something here that the Jewish people listening to us,
yeah.
I'm sure there's some,
yeah.
Many maybe, this will be the greatest thing that has ever happened for Jews. To give them liberty,
yep.
To bring liberty to the Jewish people,
yep.
From the oppression that their rabbinical leadership and the Illuminati, the Bronfmans, And all the others have placed over them, the Ashkenazi Jews of Poland and Europe, to be freed of that will be such a tremendous thing. And I really believe that many Jews are going to come and thank Tex Mars and Daryl Bradford Smith, Eric Hufschmidt. They're going to say, thank you very much for liberating us, for freeing us, for being our friend.
I think you're right, because what's happened is they've been browbeat into lockstep by they claim to, you know, this Lubavitcher group and the rest of these people, they claim to have the right to speak for all Jews, when in fact, if you take a look at their membership, it's only the elitist Jews that are membership with them, and many of the rank and file are not part of it, except for that they've been beaten into line.
That is true. So we're maybe some of these Jews will join with us. Already some are, as you know.
You betcha.
And so well, listen, it has been just fabulous talking with you today.
It has been,
Daryl.
And you know,
I appreciate what y'all are doing.
Power of Prophecy, ladies and gentlemen, is Tex Mars website. You can find that link on IamTheWitness.com. And you can get his book, Codex Magica, and many of his other books right on that website. And I want you to know, Tex, you know, that you're a welcome guest on this broadcast anytime you'd like. If you have something to announce or something you're putting together and you want someone to know about it, you just shoot me over an email, and you've got my ear instantly.
I appreciate that, Daryl, and I hope you'll be kind enough to honor my audience by being on my radio program in the near future.
Well, whenever you give me the moment, I'll be on the
All
day
right.
that you ask me.
Sounds great.
Thanks.
Hey, God bless you, and God bless Eric as well.
Oh, well, thank you, sir, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, my friend.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tex Mars, wonderful man, just kind, kindness just pours out of his life here. And I got to tell you, doing this work with people like Tex makes it all worthwhile. It really does. I don't get... You know, I do have another fellow that I enjoy listening and talking with, Ted Pike. He's an honest man as well. There's a kindness in both these men that I just appreciate, and I want to let everyone know out there that, you know, the fight is on. The battle is on, and we are bringing this fight to these people. Of course, we're far from winning it, and we need each and every one of you out there to pick up the banner of truth with us and start battling back against these forces. This is our Tuesday broadcast. Daryl Bradford Smith telling each and every one of you to be well and talk to you soon. Bye-bye now.